Bombardier cuts 3,000 more jobs worldwide. Atlantic Southeast Airlines had its planes back in the air Thursday, and NASA's embattled Inspector General quits. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, April 6, 2009. Citing fewer deliveries than planned and a glut of used aircraft on the market, Bombardier Aerospace has announced it will cut 3,000 more jobs by the end of this year, in addition to 1,360 cut in February. Affected this time will be workers in Canada, Northern Ireland, Mexico, and the U.S. The company projects a 25% drop in demand for Learjet and Challenger aircraft. The downturn is in sharp contrast to the record-breaking billion-dollar profit achieved by Bombardier during the last fiscal year. CEO Guy Hatchie told the Toronto Star there could still be more cuts if conditions worsen. Quote, "This is the kind of market we're in. These decisions were very difficult to take, but they were necessary and align production to the reduced market demand," unquote. Among those affected will be 420 members of the Canadian Auto Workers Union in Toronto. That union is calling for government intervention. Normal flight operations resumed on Thursday for Delta Connection regional carrier Atlantic Southeast Airlines, a day and a half after 60 Bombardier CRJ-200s were grounded to check for completion of mandated engine inspections. ASA spokeswoman Kate Modolo said the airline notified the FAA and voluntarily pulled the aircraft out of service. She added it was unclear whether the inspections were actually overdue or had been performed but not properly documented. Inspections of the engines, normally required every 5,000 hours of operation, began on Tuesday night. USA Today reports the groundings caused a cancellation of 277 flights, affecting an estimated 8,500 passengers. Modolo said those passengers were rescheduled on other Delta Connection carriers or mainline Delta flights. NASA Inspector General Robert Cobb submitted a letter of resignation to the White House on Thursday, effective April 11th. President Obama has accepted it. Cobb wrote, quote, "I've been honored to serve the United States over the past 17 years, first at the Office of Government Ethics, then at the White House, and for the last 7 years as Inspector General. A new Inspector General will find an organization with extraordinarily talented employees dedicated to rooting out fraud, waste, and abuse, and promoting the economy, efficiency, and effectiveness of NASA," unquote. Well, that apparently is a matter of debate. A 77-page report issued by the Government Accountability Office in January ranked Cobb next to last among inspectors in federal agencies for managing costs. The report said Cobb saved taxpayers only 36 cents for every dollar spent on his department versus an average of $9.49 for other agencies. The GAO also said Cobb spent too much time on investigations irrelevant to saving money, didn't conduct enough audits, and failed to make recommendations on those he did do. Sikorsky Memorial Airport in Connecticut remains the object of a bitter three-way tug of war between two towns and the state. The airport is owned by the city of Bridgeport, but lies entirely within the boundaries of the town of Stratford. The last scheduled airline service there ended in 1999, in part because both runways are under 5,000 feet long. Bridgeport said the runways needed to be lengthened to bring back the airlines. Stratford NIMBYs fought back. The state of Connecticut has talked about taking over the airport to move forward with the expansion plan its DOT approved. Stratford has said it wants to buy the airport. The latest chapter in the story is a mandate from the FAA for overrun safety zones for the runways. A chartered Piper Navajo landed long on runway 6 in April of 1994, and the NTSB ruled the 8 fatalities were caused by fire produced by collision with the rigid blast fence at the end of runway 6. There have been 3 accidents in which planes crashed through that fence and out onto Stratford's Main Street. The U.S. Army agreed in the past to sell an old engine plant to the city of Bridgeport to provide just over an acre of land in the needed area, allowing rerouting of Main Street and installation of a 300-foot-long engineered materials arresting system. But NIMBYs painted that as a runway extension and blocked it. Now, the Connecticut Post reports, there's a deal to sell the Army's plant to Stratford, which wants to develop the land. The city of Bridgeport filed suit Thursday to stop that sale. The FAA is not amused and has threatened to take over the airport itself through eminent domain laws to end the bickering and get the needed safety improvements done. So, I guess that makes it a four-way tug of war. Stay tuned. Up next on ANN, Boeing's deliveries of new airliners are up so far this year. Airbus denies more A380 deliveries will be late. And Garmin and Avedon both announced new deals with OEMs. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 6th. I'm Paul Plank. Despite significant layoffs and the continuing efforts to recover from a crippling strike by machinists last year, Boeing posted a 5.2% gain in the number of commercial airliner deliveries in the first quarter of this year compared to last year. The company reported Thursday it delivered 121 new aircraft to commercial clients in the first 3 months of 2009, including 91 of its 737 narrowbodies, the company's biggest seller and the quickest plane for workers to build. Bloomberg reports the plane maker aims to deliver between 480 and 485 commercial aircraft this year, which would be a new record if it happens. Maintaining that pace long term could be a problem. So far in 2009, Boeing has received 28 new orders for the year, but 32 cancellations. Analysts doubt Boeing and Airbus will be able to make it through 2009 without the need to park some whitetails. That's industry speak for completed aircraft that have no customer logos to put on their tails. After surveying customers waiting for Airbus A380 Super Jumbos, Bloomberg has concluded that Airbus will deliver only 15 of the enormous planes in calendar 2009. That's three fewer than Airbus's latest official projection. In January, Airbus CEO Tom Enders blamed slower-than-expected production of the A380 on the continued need to hand-wire the plane, precluding a more automated assembly process. If Bloomberg's math is correct, three fewer deliveries would be a total of $1 billion U.S. less revenue for Airbus in 2009. So far, Airbus is standing by its official projection. Reached by phone, Airbus spokeswoman Susie Crowley told Bloomberg, quote, "Our objective, as we said in January, is to deliver 18 airplanes. We can't really comment on future delivery planning by customer," unquote. And then there's the matter of A380 squawks. In a March 14th report, Germany's Der Spiegel cited a 46-page complaint from Emirates calling out Airbus for defects which had forced the airline to ground its A380s for 500 hours. Bloomberg reports Airbus says it's working intensively on solutions. Garmin and Technam Aircraft announced Friday at Aero Friedrichshafen the Garmin G950 and G600 will be available as optional avionics for the twin-engine P2006T and variants of the single-engine P2002, respectively. Garmin marketing VP Gary Kelly commented, quote, "Since their founding over 60 years ago, Technam Aircraft has developed a reputation for manufacturing a diverse fleet of extremely reliable and high-quality aircraft. We're looking forward to working with Technam and are confident their customers will appreciate the situational awareness and integration that comes from the G950 and G600, unquote. Also at Aero Friedrichshafen, Avadyne announced it was selected by Extra Aircraft LLC of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, as the avionics partner for the upcoming Extra EA500. Avadyne will provide its Integra Release 9 integrated flight deck avionics, including displays, and the WAAS-capable FMS-900W flight management system. Walter Extra, founder of Extra Aircraft, remarked, quote, "Avadyne is renowned for their innovation and overall ease of use, but what has impressed me the most is the truly redundant system architecture Avadyne has developed for the Release 9 integrated flight deck system. We look forward to working closely with Avadyne going forward," unquote. The first deliveries of Integra-equipped EA-500s are expected before the end of this year. Still ahead, NAFI announces its latest crop of master instructors. A single-engined air taxi lands on a Florida street, and Women Venture returns to Oshkosh this summer. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, April 6th. I'm Paul Plack. The National Association of Flight Instructors has announced 5 new accredited master instructors and 3 renewals. NAFI's news release points out, quote, there are approximately 84,000 CFIs in the United States. Fewer than 300 currently maintain the master accreditation. As a measure of the prestige conferred by this title, the last 13 FAA National Flight Instructors of the Year were master CFIs, unquote. First-time master instructors during February and March included Brandon Ray, who works for Cessna based in Bend, Oregon, Kyle Tucker of the University of North Dakota Center for Aerospace and Sciences, Megan Sayre of Bennett, Colorado, Director of Operations for Daedalus Aviation, LLC, Charles Abecki of Mullica Hill, New Jersey, a director and instructor for MAPA Safety Foundation, and Robert Teckel of Texas, an independent instructor and examiner. ANN congratulates the newest crop of master instructors. Find NAFI's complete announcement at www.nafinet.org. The pilot of an air taxi flight en route from Page Field in Fort Myers, Florida, to St. Petersburg Clearwater International Airport made a successful forced landing Friday night on a street in Northport, Florida. The Cirrus SR-22 was being operated by SATSAIR Charter Service as AeroCab Flight SYK-27. Neither the pilot nor his 2 passengers were injured. WWSB-TV News cited Northport Fire Department officials in reporting the plane lost power shortly before 7 p.m. Friday. They added the pilot first tried for I-75, but ultimately chose to land near the intersection of Ponce de Leon Boulevard and North Biscayne Drive in Northport. Officials added the plane clipped some power lines on approach but landed safely. The incident seems likely to revive the debate about whether single-engine piston aircraft are suitable for use in air taxi service. The success of last year's inaugural Women Venture gathering has inspired EAA and Women in Aviation International to plan more activities this year at EAA Air Venture Oshkosh, with several of the events focused on Friday, July 31st. The week will start with EAA's annual Women Soar Days for high school-age girls, July 26th through the 28th. The program matches girls with mentors in aviation, aerospace, and other fields. Among events confirmed for July 31st are a breakfast with Julie Clark, Patty Wagstaff, and John and Martha King, the second annual Women Venture group photo on Aero Shell Square at 10:30 a.m., an afternoon air show featuring all women pilots and performers, and an evening program at Theater in the Woods with guests including Shuttle Commander Eileen Collins, U.S. Air Force pilot Jill Long, and Jessica Cox, the first person born without arms to earn a pilot certificate by flying with her feet. Find more details in the print version of this story, dated April 5th, at aero-news.net. And finally today, cases of thefts from airline passengers' check bags have been making news lately. Are these isolated cases, or does this happen all the time? Well, apparently it depends who you talk to. ABC News recently went asking that question. Continental Airlines provided an official response which said, in part, quote, thefts from baggage are extremely rare. We have active security operations at airports. We assist law enforcement agencies in investigating and prosecuting theft cases when they arise, unquote. But a Continental Airlines employee who works at Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport spoke anonymously with ABC News affiliate KTRK. Quote, it happens every day. It's very often that we may run across Continental guys going through their luggage, unquote. The Transportation Security Administration recommends you avoid packing anything of value, such as jewelry, cash, laptop computers, electronics, or fragile items in your checked bags, even if they're locked. As for the disparity between the official Continental statement and the observations of its anonymous employee, the woman adds, quote, they run everything tightly up at the top, but poorly at the bottom. If I was to fly a flight with Continental, those are the things that I will be thinking about, unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves says aviation is reaching a tipping point and suggests how he believes we could still act in time. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.